Good morning. The reading today is taken from Luke chapter 1 verses 26 to 38, and you can find it in page 1026 of your pew Bibles. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, who you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He'll be a great, and he'll be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. I am the Lord's servant." Mary answered, "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Amen.
Last week we began studying a gospel. We've not done that for 5 or 6 years, and it's the Gospel of Luke. And if you missed being here last week, then why not catch up on the website? It was a rousing encouragement to let God break into each of our lives. You see, Luke promises to explain and to encourage God's salvation plan. He encourages us to sign up and enlist and become true disciples, soldiers for Christ. This week's sermon is entitled Announcement. There was a minister in Dunbar who recently announced that he was leaving his church after 38 years. In my last job, the managing director announced suddenly that 90 people were going to be made redundant. I remember quite a few years ago now, my wife and I invited both sets of grandparents to an evening meal to announce that we were expecting our first child. Announcements then take all kinds of shapes and forms. Sometimes it's good news, but here in Luke's Gospel, we hear of an announcement that is the best ever news. The long-awaited Saviour is about to burst onto the scene. This announcement, or as many Christians call it, the Annunciation, has been depicted probably more than many, many of the events in the scriptures. It's been depicted in art and in poetry and in all kinds of ways. It's because this announcement has enormous significance that we can see so many prolific examples of this event portrayed. Someone once asked, "What does the fanciful excuse of an unwed teenage girl who finds herself pregnant have to do with God's plans to save the world?" The answer is, click, the answer is everything. It's got everything to do with God's plan. So let's look at these verses. Firstly then, verses 26 and 27. We're told that the angel, I don't think it says in this chapter it's Gabriel, but it does later on in Luke tell us that it was the angel Gabriel who visited Mary one day. We're told as well that she's engaged to be married to Joseph. And Gabriel tells Mary that she's going to miraculously conceive by the Holy Spirit. Now, that's never happened before, so I wonder what that was like for Mary to hear. You're going to get pregnant miraculously by the Holy Spirit, and you're going to bear this special child who is the long-awaited Messiah. Now, you know, it's not like you've won the lottery. It's not like you've been given a nice Christmas present. This is something that is truly unique and will never happen again. I guess if one of our teenage daughters explained their unplanned pregnancy in this way, we would have a mixture of emotions. But that's the story behind the Annunciation. So the question is, what relevance has this got for us here today in 2016? Let's explore it together and see. We're going to look at verses 28, 32, 33, and 36. Greetings, you are highly favoured. There's a deep sense that our God is benevolent, that he's faithful, and that his love and faithfulness and blessings will never cease. Gabriel tells Mary that her offspring will sit in the throne of David and reign over the house of Jacob. He informs Mary that her previously barren relative Elizabeth is already 6 months pregnant. Two things then. God's intention for our individual lives, that's your life and mine, falls into a much larger story. Something that God is planning and has been planning and arranging for some time. Each one of us has a part to play in God's big story. And secondly, the Annunciation is an invitation to join in with whatever God is doing. I was having discussions before the service this morning, and I was talking about how in other churches that I've gone to review, the outlook is completely bleak. In fact, one church has accepted that within 10 years they're going to shut their doors just recently. And I'm grieved at that. But the reality is that here God is doing something. We are a church that's alive and seeking to honour him, that seeks to reach into people's lives locally and in the wider world. It's our calling to join in with what God is doing in our midst. Next, we look at verses 28, 29, and 31. And God's invitations are memorable, is the title for this section. The reality is, when God breaks into your life, and again, somebody said something at the prayer meeting that almost sounded like, I'm not too sure if I want God to break in because it might not be kind of what I want to happen. And that's an honest response, because when God breaks in, it can be disruptive and disturbing. Now, for a young teenage girl to be pregnant, I suspect that was not the first thing in her mind in her plans for the future. And the Greek word in this passage of Luke is unique in the New Testament. It's only used once, but it is closely related to a root word which was used to describe Herod's response to learning of Jesus' birth. He was troubled and sought to try to kill Jesus. It's also used when the disciples saw Jesus walking on water. It says there, some translations, they were terrified. Luke also uses that root word to describe Elizabeth's husband, Zachariah, when he responded to the angel's message that he's going to be a father. He was... There's quite a difference, isn't there? He's going to be a father. He was kind of stunned. So there is a sense that when God breaks in, that our initial response can be fear. And our lives might be taken away a different route from what we maybe have thought. But the Annunciation of God's work in our lives might cause us fear. It might take us on a different path, but honestly, it is an invitation to believe and trust in him and to boldly go where he wants us to go. Next, verses 34, 35, and 37. Miracles happen because this God who seeks to break into our lives is a God of the impossible. You see, when God invites us to join in, and in case anybody's unsure, God is inviting each one of us here to join in his work. When God invites us to join in, he invites us to believe in a miraculous God. When things seem impossible naturally, they are not impossible with God. And here, the intended point of the fact that Mary is a virgin demonstrates that God is able to do immeasurably more than all that we could ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Do these words sound familiar? Ephesians 3:20. He is able to do immeasurably more than all we might ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. That was true for Elizabeth too. She suddenly finds herself 6 months pregnant. And Mary too, a young girl, the impossible has happened for her. The Annunciation then is an invitation for us to submit to a God of what seems impossible. A God who could bring peace into the world where there is so much hatred. For it couldn't happen naturally, could it? No matter all the efforts of humans trying to reconcile, new wars begin. That takes us nicely to our final verse, 38. What is made possible then through the Annunciation? Well, there are three things. Mary shows to us in the Annunciation. The first is that faith is made possible. God announces his intention with his plans into Mary's life. And Mary responds in faith. And I guess we can respond with faith, or we can choose not to believe. It is our choice, but Mary gives us a good example and encourages us to place our full trust in God. Second, she also encourages us to not only have faith for a moment, but to be faithful. That word faithfulness, you see, faith without the endurance and faithfulness throughout our lives isn't real Christian faith. Mary faithfully endured the social stigma and scorn of her day, the disgrace of a young, unmarried woman who is pregnant. Do you notice that Mary didn't say, you know, let it be to me as you have planned, and then 10 years later say, I've kind of changed my mind, this is hard work. She kept on going. She did not waver, and she stayed in the faith journey throughout her life, even as she watched her son hang on the cross. It makes you think, doesn't it? What kind of Christian faith have those who once worshipped in churches but sit at home on Sundays now? And thirdly, Mary's faith and faithfulness bore much fruit. We can see that, and we can enjoy the full benefits of Christ as our Saviour because Mary played her part and bore fruit. You see, real Christian faith knows that it's still possible today that when God makes an announcement into our lives, then something great can happen. And that's the message behind the Annunciation. For us, it's an invitation to respond as Mary did, with faith in God, with enduring faithfulness in God, and with the fruitfulness that comes from allowing God within us to be his hands and his feet and his voice in many situations. One of the beautiful things about fruitfulness is watching it appear in the lives of others, watching it grow, watching that fruitfulness becoming a bigger harvest week by week. So let's journey in this Gospel of Luke and in this faith journey that Mary journeyed in together. Let's know that she was a highly favoured one, but the Lord wants to bless each and every one of us. We're all offered his favour. He invites us to invite him to be our Lord and to put ourselves in his hand. Let it be as you have said. Let me be a useful vessel for your plans, God. Let's carry Christ into our schools and workplaces, into our neighbourhoods. Let's pray for the Holy Spirit to fill us up to overflowing each and every day. And let's listen for God's response to our prayers and to his response as he calls us to participate in his work. This God we worship is an awesome God. He's worth following. He is announcing the greatest news that history can ever tell. And he's asking us to go and announce it to others so that they too can be enriched and favoured and blessed, and that they can discover this God, this awesome God who breaks into our lives with good plans. Let's think of some conclusions then as we draw this message to an end. One thing that your brothers and sisters in church would love to have is an announcement that many people have heard God's messenger and message and have chosen to become servants to Christ. It's our responsibility, surely, to enthuse and help others to discover the miracle that is God living within our hearts. And the question that the first conclusion leaves us with to take away is, have we discovered God's intention for us in the larger story of our lives yet? Do you know what God wants you to do that is his plan? Secondly, the question to take away with us today is, are we joining in with what God is doing? For some, that will mean frontline work, being part of a team. For others, that will be a supporter or an encourager or a prayer warrior. But let's be sure that you're sitting here in this church today because each and every one of you is needed for God's work. And it might be here, and it might be further afield, or it might be both. But each and every one of you and your gifts and talents and offerings are what can be used to make us an effective part of God's plans, an effective part of his kingdom in this generation. And thirdly, I think this is something we've come across before, but we know that Mary was initially afraid, and we looked at these other situations where there was fear. What fears or internal issues hold us back spiritually is the question we need to wrestle with, if that's applicable for us this week. It's scary when God breaks into our lives. He might ask us to change direction or to do some incredible things that we don't believe that we could possibly ever be able to do. But it's scary and life-changing for good on the one hand, or it's safe and mediocre on the other. Which do you prefer? Do we need to ask God to help us to have the faith that the young Mary had? Faith, even small as a mustard seed, can move mountains. I know that one thing that I hope and pray for each and every one of you, is that one day you will be known as someone who produced much good fruit for Christ's kingdom. And the message for the first week of Advent is Jesus is coming. He's coming to break in to our world. Jesus is coming into our neighbourhoods. He's coming with us into our workplaces and schools. And that was the message we had at the prayer breakfast too. Take Jesus and his presence with you and pray for opportunities to speak of him and to bless others. I hope and pray that you're saying to God, I am the Lord's servant. Let him utilize even me. Help me to share in the announcement, which is the greatest news for all people in every place and time. Let's pray that this week. Let's see God make a difference. Let's sit back and watch with awe at our awesome God. Amen.